third place for 123A, and we broke into the quarterfinals in debate, which is always nice. The Haynes DDF team is back from state. The Haynes Borough Comprehensive Plan is 80% complete. And a Sitka crab boat found itself in a precarious perch this morning. I'm Adam Richard. It's the KHNS Local News up next. The Haynes DDF team, that's drama, debate, and forensics, returned recently from their state meet in Anchorage. They competed against 24 schools ranging in size from 1A to 4A. In order to make the finals, students had to place in the top 5 or 6 in their individual categories in an open competition against all schools regardless of size. Came in third place for 123A, and we broke into the quarterfinals in debate, which is always nice. Eli White and Patrick Henderson took fourth overall in debate. And then our third place finishes in what they call sweepstakes points. That's where you add up all the results that you have, and you get a couple points here and a couple points there for every result that you have. Now, Patrick Henderson also took second speaker in public forum debate, and that's for everybody, all 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A. Polly Bryant came in fourth in dramatic interpretation. That was Haynes DDF coach Gershon Cohen. Cohen went on to say that Haynes was the next school down just below the finals line in six events. So, I mean, we came so close to just having a chance to take the whole thing. So because of our strength was so across the board high, we were so solid in everything that we did, we ended up taking third in the meet, even though we only had one kid in finals and one, you know, individual standout in debate in the speaker ranks.
Sitka took first place in the 1, 2, and 3A competition, with Whitestone coming in second. That was a reversal of the last few years that saw Whitestone in first, Sitka in second, and Haynes in third. Cohen also said Sitka had a very strong team with lots of seniors. That may leave the door open for Haynes next year, as Haynes may only lose three seniors, and Sitka will be losing quite a few more. This was more than half of the Haynes team's first trip to state, and as many return in years to come, the team should mature and grow stronger with experience. When asked about the advantages of flying versus driving to meets, Cohen had this to say.
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag, because on the one hand you say, well, you're spending all that time together, and that's great, except that you're spending that time together in the van or in a car. You know, a lot of that time is spent driving. If you fly, you tend to get actually more time to practice, because you go at about the same time and come back about the same time, except you're taking the ferry down, which you can really practice on the ferry.
When asked about the competition in general, Cohen cited a few frustrations with inconsistencies in judges and how they look at and judge a performance.
You know, you're always dealing with the fact that you've got college kids judging you, and that can be problematic, because sometimes they really don't have the depth that you're looking for in a judge for a lot of the events. They're also not trained in drama at all. They're not trained in the type of debate we do at all. And so it's problematic, you know, and I mean, and it goes across the board. I mean, it affects everybody. It's not just us. We did have a few results that were just actually hilarious. When you read the ballot and you see how grossly misinterpreted a piece was, you just have to wonder, what was the person thinking? I mean, they just totally didn't get the piece.
Cohen said one judge had knocked them out of finals and three events, writing comments on their score sheet, leaving them to wonder where in the world she was coming from. Those three finals could have given Haynes the chance they needed to win the whole thing. The DDF team does have some events planned in the near future.
We're going to still do our sushi fundraiser, I believe, and because that's always very popular. The other thing that we're planning is we're planning to have the debate team begin to do a series of debates in town. And we're going to have the first one coming up in late March, mid to late March. And it's going to be on the topic that we debated a few tournaments ago on income inequality in the United States and whether or not that is impacting our democracy
in a negative way.
A local group, We the People, asked the team to put on the same debate for the town. They will be doing so on the third week of March. Cohen said it could be an interesting way to get the town to dialogue about issues that are important to the community. The Haines Planning Commission met Thursday for another Haines Comprehensive Plan work session. Planning consultant Barbara Scheinberg of Scheinberg Associates led the work session. The focus of the meeting was on the pre-draft of the comp plan, being called the 80% Complete Plan, a 209-page document accompanied with a packet of 16 or so full-color maps of the area, outlining things ranging from borough facilities to areas of future growth and recreation. Scheinberg looked to the Planning Commission to tell her about concerns over the document and asked them to point out gaps in information, incorrect information, areas of unclearness, and anything else that stood out to them. She went on to say that the current document will undergo a major rewrite and would not be fully recognizable afterwards. She made available a newly added page of the document listing in detail Haines' economic strengths, assets, competitive advantages, and Haines' economic weaknesses and challenges. One bit of information included in the strengths column was total personal income. This chart broke down the personal income in Haines into three categories: personal income from wages and salary, from self-employment, and unearned or mailbox income, including pensions, retirement, and earnings from things like investments. The chart then compared these figures with those from Juneau and of the entire state of Alaska. The results show that Haines has a very unique personal income structure. Personal income from wages and salary represented only 37% of the Haines personal income, compared to 73% in Juneau and 74% for Alaska. Income from self-employment came in at 23% in Haines, compared to only 4% in Juneau and 9% for the state. Mailbox income represented 40% of Haines' personal income, considerably higher than Juneau's 23% or the 17% recorded for the state of Alaska. With speculation that Haines is trending towards a retirement community, being supported by the mailbox earnings and by a statistic provided in the Haines Economic Weaknesses that the population of Haines is one of the oldest in the state, from 2000 to 2010, the number of households with people 65 or over increased by 40%, and the projection that by 2024, one-third of the Haines population will be over 65, the question was raised by Commissioner Andy Hedden as to why moving towards a retirement community is a bad thing and should be considered an economic weakness. Audience member Deborah Schnabel answered that question, stating that traditionally, as a tax and voter base ages, they become less likely to support government initiatives that involve spending government monies on projects, thus slowing or hindering the expansion and progress of the community. A few other economic weaknesses of note: Haines pays almost double for power what others on hydropower pay. Wages in Haines are lower than other comparable communities in Alaska. 40% of school children qualify for free lunch, meaning a family of four makes less than $36,000 a year, and households are decreasing, with homes containing children 18 or younger decreasing by 16%. It's not all bad news, though. Haines was the second fastest growing population in 2010 to 2011, increasing by 3.5%. Haines schools are in the top three in the region academically and number one for science. So what does all of this tell residents of Haines? Basically, it just tells Haines where it sits for now. The purpose of the comp plan is to guide growth over the next 10 to 20 years by describing current conditions, reviewing outstanding issues and needs, and trying to lay out an orderly path to help achieve desired goals. The next Planning Commission meeting is set for March 29th. Scheinberg said she hoped to have the draft plan in front of the commission at that time. There will be two town meetings scheduled, one in town and one out the road sometime in April, to give residents a chance to voice their opinions. Scheinberg said she hoped to have the completed plan before the commission for adoption by late April. It would then go before the assembly, where she thought the process might be completed by late May. The crew of the Tracy C, a crab boat out of Sitka, woke to a surprise this morning in the Haines Small Boat Harbor. Their 80-foot crab boat was sitting on the bottom.
The Tracy C. had come into the Haines Harbor last night with two other crab boats to offload their 65,000 pounds of Tanner crab. They pulled the boat into the outside of the F dock. For one reason or another, they were unaware of the shallow depth of the slip and the danger of even shallower rocks nearby. As the 0.1-foot low tide moved out, the boat came to rest on the bottom. To the fisherman's fortune, the rocks just feet to the starboard quarter didn't come into play as the boat settled into a small sand and mud bar. Harbor Master Ed Barrett was on the scene to inspect the damage. He said there didn't appear to be any damage to the boat or to the F-dock, though it could be heard groaning and popping as the incoming tide tried to lift the dock before it could lift the boat. With the tide turning at about 8, the Tracy C had at least 4 hours to wait until the boat could be freed from the bottom. The crew could be heard discussing the state of the crab in the holding tanks. The boat was angled from the stern down to the bow, likely leaving some of the precious Tanner crab out of the water in the tanks. As one crab boat could be seen motoring out of the harbor, the Tracy C could only sit and wait for the tide and hope that most of their 65,000 pounds of crab would survive. Thanks to Tara Bicknell for help with this broadcast. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Adam Richard.